anything that man tells me will be a lie. Therefore, he will be a perfect reverse barometer. Isn't that correct?
Of course, General.
Change has come to America.
The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From a rain-soaked bunker somewhere in the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Thursday, July.
No, not
why?
Yet.
No, it's June the 11th.
June 11th of 2009.
See, I don't have my calendar in front of me. I'm helpless without my calendar.
Well, you can say whatever it is, but, you know, see, we're going to follow the lead of the Obama administration, and we're going to start with the way we want the world to be and work backward toward the way the world is instead of starting with reality and trying to go from there. How's
you know,
that?
And our opening clip was perfect. If you didn't catch what it was, it's Richard Mulligan from mm-hmm. Little Big Man talking about the contrarian Indian who...
Younger Bear,
who says everything... the opposite and does everything the opposite.
Right. So when he greets you for the morning, he says, goodbye, you know, and that sort of thing. And so forth.
When we're told hundreds of millions of jobs have been created, we're supposed to take that as hundreds of millions of jobs have been lost.
Yeah. And when they talk about trillions of dollars of deficits fiscal responsibility, that means trillion-dollar deficits for us.
Exactly. Pay as you go means...
Yeah. We pay. You pay and then go broke is what it is.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is it.
Or you know what else we could call it? The Obama administration? Dancing with the czars.
I like it, honey. That is perfect. In fact, you should name the show this.
Dancing with the czars.
Dancing with the czars.
Yeah. Barack Obama has announced a pay czar to administer the compensation of top officials, top executives in corporations receiving extraordinary help. Representative Barney Frank says that may not go far enough, and Congress may actually want to do more than just deal with companies that have been receiving government help.
Do you think you'll have a quasar?
I don't know. What is a quay?
What's a henway?
About 3 pounds. Thank you. We're here all week. Tip your waitress. The Karzai,
Here's what bothers me about the czars. He can appoint all the people he wants to, but the fact is these men and women have a lot of power. Mm-hmm. They are not elected. They're not even vetted by Congress. They just get to take their jobs, their paychecks, and all the power that goes with it.
Yep. Yeah. It's we're up to 12 as of now. So we've got an energy czar, an urban czar, an infotech czar, a faith-based czar, health reform czar, drug czar, TARP czar, stimulus czar. Now, why did they need a separate one, stimulus and TARP? I thought that was the same thing.
I don't know, but you know, I was just thinking, if you substituted another word for czar,
Caesar,
like Führer,
yeah, Kaiser, yeah, there are all kinds of names that come from the original Caesar, or in Roman, I guess back in the day they hit a hard C, it would have been Kaiser. Czar derives from that name. We got a nuclear czar, terrorism czar, regulatory czar, Gitmo czar. So I guess the executive compensation czar makes 13 czars. So
dancing with the czars, honey, that's fun.
Well, I wish I could say I was original, but I didn't make that up. So I will put a link in the show notes to the article from which I drew the term, because the author of that deserves to be recognized. So. Anyway, we are the podcast czars, I guess.
Yeah.
If there isn't one yet, we should, and we put ourselves up for that.
I don't want to be that.
No. But the point is, and we're kind of laughing and poking fun at this, but on the serious side, this is, again, just another example of the fact that we are just moving toward fewer and fewer freedoms.
He's circumventing the Constitution.
Yeah. There is nowhere in the Constitution where the President of the United States has the kind of power that he's exhibiting. Basically telling General Motors that they had to get rid of their CEO before the government would step in and bail them out. Telling corporations now that, you know, here's how much money your executives can earn. Although, now, to flip the coin, any company that takes that kind of government assistance has given up its right to pretend that it is still a free market entity.
Yes.
When you are 70% owned by the United States government, you have no right to complain that the government is going to step in and tell you how much your top executives can earn.
When Michael Corleone pays you a visit and says, I'd like to lend you some money.
Yeah, you set a price. I want to buy you out. Don't be Mo Green. Sell and get out. So, no, it's on the one hand, as one who believes that capitalism is not perfect, but the best way for humans to engage in trade for and enjoy the fruits of their labors. It disturbs me to see the government stepping in and saying, here's how much we'll let you earn in this position.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, if a company, whether it's a bank or an automaker, takes the government money, you've got to expect the government's going to wield control.
Well, it's come out now that they told Bank of America, not only do you have to buy Merrill Lynch, you know, you can't get out of this deal.
Right.
But you have to pay a whole lot more money than it's worth.
Right.
We're talking billions of dollars when it may have only been worth millions of dollars.
Uh-huh. And the other thing that's disturbing about all this is, you know, I think Americans, regardless of how much you know about the economy, regardless of how disturbed you are that at the basic unfairness of the government deciding who's going to win and lose at business. I mean, 100 years ago, where were the government bailouts for the horse and buggy manufacturers who were being driven out of business?
Mm-hmm.
Eh? Didn't happen. It is unfair. But even more than that, and I wish I'd thought to bring this up because I was thinking about this during the day today, an article or some documentation. I remember vaguely some years back while we were in St. Louis, an economics professor at Washington University in St. Louis won the Nobel Prize for Economics by simply writing a paper. And well, I'm oversimplifying it, but essentially he won the Nobel Prize. And again, I'm oversimplifying, for stating that economic theory only works in nations where the government enforces the rule of law. Well, that sounds like a no-brainer, but if you've ever studied economics, which I have, you realize that that is not usually factored into the equations of most economists.
But who defines the rule of law?
Well, that's the point I'm getting to. That's the point that I'm getting to. When you enter into a business transaction that involves performing on a contract, that contract is only as good as the person on the other side of the table. It's only as good as that person's willingness to live up to his word. And beyond that, then, you have to depend that the government is going to enforce the laws that require him to perform according him or her to perform according to the contract. If the other party intends to tries to Welsh on the deal, you can go to court, file a suit, and get justice, or attempt to get justice anyway. Now we're in a society now where the government is not only telling companies what to do, they're changing the rules on the fly. The Chrysler deal is a classic example of what happens in a banana republic, where the government basically, or what used to happen under the old British Empire, where King George III would say, okay, Duke of Earl, you're my buddy, so you now have the tea franchise for the colonies.
Yes.
And whoever else had the tea franchise before, tough. And if you complained, you went to the tower and offered your head.
That's what the czar business reminds me of.
That's what the czar business reminds us of. What happened in the Chrysler deal is that certain parties were told by the government, you will invest in Chrysler to help bail them out. And Chrysler took the money secured by Chrysler's assets, its plants, its real estate, its the automobiles that are sitting in inventories. Now the government comes along and says, okay, you secured creditors, you're getting 33 cents on the dollar. You unsecured creditors, labor unions, UAW workers, you're going to get 50 cents on the dollar. And then the government had the gall to turn around. Barack Obama had the gall to go on television and call the secured creditors who are crying foul, call them speculators. We're living in a nation now, and most of us haven't, this only dawned on me today, that we basically rolled back the clock several hundred years. And whatever the chief executive of the nation says goes.
Why, it's good to be the king.
It's good to be the king. And that's where the whole country, that's where the whole world is going, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it'll be somebody.
Of course, he's a pharaoh. Silly me. He's not the king.
So, anyway, we spent a lot, way too much time on this because there are a lot of other things to talk about.
Well, good night, everybody.
Yeah. And part of our keeping the trend, we're going to keep it under 10 minutes tonight. Thank you. We've got plenty of other things to get to tonight. But that's just something that was just kind of eating at me today and just really bugging.
You know what?
Well,
of course, we know that the World Health Organization has ramped it up to phase six. We've been saying for a while that they were going to do it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Finally. And I know that there are some people out there that are saying, excuse me, but, you know, this makes no sense. Not very many people have died from this. And that's
true. That is true.
That is true. The reason that they, honestly, the reason they do this, and it's a two-edged sword, is so governments can now open up funds that are earmarked for preparation for a pandemic. So that they can order all of these drugs from the pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
Who benefits? The pharmaceutical companies.
Well, absolutely. There's no question about that. Now, having said that, we do think that this is a disease that bears watching because everything that we've read, and I'm no expert, but people like Dr. Henry Nyman, who is an expert.
I think this fall is going to be, it could really be bad.
Right. Says that this is tracking the 1918 pandemic very closely. And if you go back and do some reading on the history of the 1918 Spanish flu, it was not that serious until you got to the fall of 1918. I've mentioned before that my grandfather, who served in World War I, wrote a number of letters home, which I now have, thankfully, and signed all of them, you know, to his mother. I am feeling fine and am in the best of health, which is kind of an odd way to close until I realized, as you were researching the Spanish flu for a novel that you were working on, that, this was at the height of the Spanish flu.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's in France, mom is worried, you know, my great-grandmother, and so that's why he signed those letters that way. Yes, it's been pointed out on the web that this would give the government the opening it needs to start quarantining people against their will. We're aware of that, and this may well happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we've talked about the big pharmaceuticals that have profited from drugs like Tamiflu, which will have no effect whatsoever in protecting against this. But that doesn't mean that this might – it doesn't mean that this is not something to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say be afraid of or be concerned about, but it is something that hasn't gone away just yet. It's a little too early to write this off.
But you know what? If you have small children who go to school – and you know that there's a very strong possibility, or in fact, you know for sure that H1N1 is in the school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you do?
Yeah.
The school doesn't close down. There are some schools that closed, you know, the minute H1N1 was written on a blackboard.
Right.
But there are others that have decided not to. In fact, there was a story yesterday that something that occurred about the same time as von Braun going into the Holocaust Museum. There was another event at a school in New York State. I believe it was New York State. A gentleman just flew right past the guard at the security guard at the school, had a gun, a handgun, went into the superintendent of the schools, who had an office there, and held him at gunpoint for about 20 minutes because the superintendent had sent out a letter about H1N1 that apparently this parent found disturbing, and he wanted the superintendent to rewrite it and send it out again. Now, I don't know what, because honestly, I looked at a lot of different sources when I saw this story yesterday, trying to figure out what was in this letter, and nowhere was that addressed.
Hmm.
You know, it seems to me like journalism 101 is
what was in the letter that set this
letter?
Guy off. Yeah. Well, interesting. Now, you mentioned the Van Brunn, James Van Brunn, and the shooting at the Holocaust Museum yesterday. Just a brief note on that. As we predicted, the meme is spreading out there. In fact, just try this little experiment at home. Go to Google and Google the terms Von Brunn, right wing, religious. And as of tonight, you get about 8,500 hits.
Here's
for that
what's funny
combination
about
of
that.
Phrases.
You know what his religion is?
Hmm. No.
Old Germanic mythology.
So he was
a Thor worshiper.
Really?
Yes.
Now, one of the things
he hates Christians too.
Well, that's one of the things that was found on his person when he was taken in, and they checked, you know, what he had in his car. They found a number of sites marked, maps to a number of sites in Washington D.C., including the National Cathedral. Now, you know, take from that what you will, but it's interesting listening to the media today. Of course, you've got the news commentators on MSNBC portraying him as a right-wing, religious, if not Christian, mm-hmm. nut.
Yeah.
Of course, by just saying religious and leaving out the fact mm-hmm. that he was an old, you know, Norse mm-hmm. god worshiper, you assume that it's Christian. But right-wing commentators like Rush Limbaugh today are portraying him as a left-wing nut. So, you know, the major media is going to wrestle this back and forth for quite a while.
And others are saying, oh, by the way, it looks like Janet Napolitano was right.
Yeah, and you know who said that, essentially? Shepard Smith of Fox News. Shepard Smith of Fox News. It looks like Department of Homeland Security was warning us about these people for a reason. I don't recall that it was, you know, specifically. Well, anyway. So this is going to be what it's going to boil down to again is that I think we'll see the government using this in other episodes like this, because there have been other incidents where, you know, we had that young man in Pennsylvania a while back who was a fan of internet radio shows who mm-hmm. went out and killed three police officers, the government's going to look towards some sort of minority report technology where, mm-hmm. You know, if at least we can't predict it, we can at least zone in on these guys
but
sooner.
The nice thing is this same government is reading Miranda rights in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
That's shoot at our soldiers. Hey, no problem. We'll just come over and pick you up and
read you
make
your
sure
rights.
That you know you've got a right to remain silent, and you can have a lawyer.
That's nuts.
And if you can't afford a lawyer,
one will be provided for you. That is nuts.
Yes.
That is nuts. I have a problem with suspending habeas corpus for American citizens.
Right.
But when you're encountering somebody who's shooting at you in the battlefield on a foreign country, yeah, I'm sorry.
Why?
Miranda rights, you know, the habeas corpus don't apply.
There's that contrarianism again. Treat American citizens like they're not American citizens, but the rest of the world, hey, you've got every constitutional right we've got.
And speaking of other trouble spots in the world, Kim Jong-il's not done rattling his sword. He's, according to sources at the Associated Press, Kim Jong-il may be prepping a new nuclear test. Yay. And yesterday we talked about the horrible situation down in Miami where the mutilated cats have been discovered. The list of confirmed cat mutilations is now up to 19 in Miami-Dade County, and police are investigating another 14 fatalities.
Mm.
Hmm. And you know, when you add 19 and 14, you get 33. So, how curious.
Ugh.
So, yeah, it's a gruesome world out there, and that's why we...
I know. Hey, one more thing before we need to go. Did you know if a fireball were to streak across the sky right now that data is classified?
You mean they'd come with the flashy thing and wipe my memory if I happen to see
yes,
a meteorite?
Yes, I'm really sorry, honey. Sorry, can you look right over here?
Who are you? So, what kind of data? I mean, tracking on radar?
Well, if I understand the story correctly, it was at space.com. If I understand the story correctly, and I've got it at PID News right now, satellites, government satellites that track, and I assume any satellite that the government can somehow, maybe there will be a satellite czar. If you and I were to see it, eyewitness testimony, observer on the ground, and local scientists wanted to come in from universities or from even NASA, JPL, mm-hmm. Wherever, and they wanted to corroborate what we saw with what the satellite data and other, you know, observatory data
mm-hmm.
can't give them. They're not allowed to have it. It's classified.
Really?
This is brand new. They've always been allowed to have that stuff.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious what data they might be protecting there.
I don't know.
You know,
Clytu Barada Nicta.
And
no
this...
kill eye.
Oh, well. We're not going to, well, yeah, it might be fun to speculate about that.
Sam didn't like that one at all.
Yeah, that was bad.
Actually, I think he hears thunder coming.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Once again, those spring thunderstorms here in central Indiana. Well, tomorrow evening, not quite sure what we're going to do yet, but we've got company coming tomorrow. So
I suspect we may not have a show. We may pull up an archive show. Derek, by the way, is still preparing his interview show. He's going to be revealing that and debuting that in the next few weeks. He's got a long list of guests already who want to come on. So.
Yeah, it's just a matter of actually nailing it down, and be working on that a little later tonight as we wait for our company to arrive. So sending out emails all across the land. And
also, we are working on putting together an audio podcast of Signs and Wonders.
Yes, that will be the next thing to go up at podiobooks.com. Of course, God Conspiracy, the first 5 episodes up. 6th episode will go up this weekend. And thank you to those who have subscribed already. And you'll find all those links. They're all plastered all over the website. So, also,
yeah, right. We got a link czar.
That would be Sam. Yeah, he's the link czar.
Yeah, sausage link czar.
Exactly. And you'll find a link to the show notes at PIDradio.com. And also there you'll find a link to the forum, which is the Piercing the Darkness forum. You send us an email with your questions, comments, or concerns, radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
And you can follow us at Twitter and Facebook, and we've got all kinds of sites. We will link to those, too. In fact, we'll probably, if we don't have them up already, I think we have permanent links at PID News, at least, to those things. So you can find us. Just go on there and put
those
in our names.
Don't be afraid to click. So, we'll be back Monday, and until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
This is PID Radio.